This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Show off, hopefully with the bang. We're going to have Cody Tucker talk Wyoming and Air Force going at it this week, so we'll get into that. Eric Gibson Jr. is going to join me, the quarterback for the UNC Bears, who has been awesome. Susan and Cheryl, thank you for that. A little delayed applause there, but they're still sleep, kind of sleepy. They're working it off. It was a great podcast I had today with Ed Lamb, Football 52. Mike, that's coming out right at noon. Yeah, 100%. Good. He talked a lot about the game, obviously, the win over Idaho and what that means. And it's an interesting time because I catch him on Wednesdays. And Wednesdays typically like when football programs, teams, whatever, win or lose, they have, by Monday, Tuesday, they've turned the page. So for him to kind of go there with me and go backtrack a bit and talk about the game, always appreciative of that, but I think one of the fascinating stories is Eric Gibson Jr. Ed was talking to me on the podcast about this, and I'm going to ask Eric about it. In the offseason, Eric Gibson Jr. is obviously quarterback number two. He's behind Peter Castelli. And so Eric wants to talk to Coach, and Coach is just assuming he's going to come up to him and say, hey, what do I got to do to be the starter, to be the starting quarterback? And Eric sits him down and says, I'm number two. What do I have to do to be the best number two? What can I do to be the best backup quarterback that this team needs? And I think that kind of takes you in a little bit to his who he is as a person. I'm saying I noticed that too when I was out of practice in the spring. The guy staying after practice wants to talk to Coach. Who knows? Maybe that was when they had that conversation. But really, really pumped to see how he's played, and he's gotten better as the season has progressed. And that's been exciting to see, man. So I'm rooting for this Bears team. Sac State coming up, 7 o'clock, ESPN Plus, Michael. Winner of that game might be ranked at that point, and obviously that would be a first for Northern Colorado. I don't know if they've ever received votes. Maybe, Mike, maybe when we were covering the Bears closely and Ernest won 6 games, he did that twice, maybe at one point in that year, in those 2 years, did they receive votes?
I don't think so. I don't recall that being kind of a good 6-5.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like an okay 6-5.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right. It was. It never felt like the Bears were really good, even though that was a positive year. But that's, kind of considered average, I suppose. When did he do that? 2016, they were 6-5. Probably not, because they did beat Northern Arizona, so they were 3-1 at one point on October 1st, 2016. That was Kyle Sloter. Remember Sloter? Really good quarterback. And then they went on to lose the next two, so if they were receiving any votes, it would have been because they were 1-0 in the Big Sky Conference. Then they lost two in a row, 1-2, and then kind of fizzled, lost two out of the last three. So that it's been that long. 2016 was the last winning season. They did it in 2015 as well, finished 6-5. But that's amazing if you think about football hasn't even been on the radar here in Greeley, in Northern Colorado. It has not been a topic of conversation. Obviously, we on this show talk a lot of college sports throughout Northern Colorado. We talk pro stuff. The UNC Bears just didn't have a story worth telling, and I'm calling it like I see it. And when they hired Ed McCaffrey there for a moment, it was exciting. It was like, oh, he won the press conference. It was really cool. Dylan McCaffrey transferred from Michigan. You're thinking, oh, okay. At the time, that was like one of the best transfers they'd ever had. Big name? Well, probably. And then it didn't work out. You know, obviously, Ed McCaffrey had a different way of doing things. But Ed Lamb opened up on the podcast. 2 years ago, we started doing this podcast, I believe. Maybe a year and maybe like a year and 9 months or something, but close to 2 years. And a lot of our conversations, I'm just going to tell you what he's telling you. You can listen to the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, 1310kfk.com. Coach felt betrayed by his roster. Maybe I'm putting words in his mouth. But he, and I'm not going to give specific names, but Ed came in kind of pushing this message of, you guys, you know, I got you for so many hours throughout the week. You're grown men. Do what you think you need to do. But I'm asking a team that has been known for being bad, regardless of the coach, regardless of the roster, I'm leaning on you guys to maybe not go out to the bars. Maybe not stay up late and drinking and doing whatever. Just do, you know, positive things for you, good things for your life. And he's kind of getting the head nodding and all that stuff. And then he finds out after a Big Sky media day that basically, and he brought it up on the podcast, there's a bar in downtown Greeley, and it was known as the football bar. And that was where the football players would go. And again, I'm not sitting here saying, if you're 21, you play college sports, you do what you can. If you can stay on a great level and play great and do your school proud and all that stuff, do what you want. But obviously, this is not a program that was doing the right things on and off the field. And then Ed kind of felt a little slighted on that. Like, hey, I had guys tell me the right stuff. And then suddenly I'm hearing that a good chunk of my roster doesn't care. That it's in one ear, out the other. So he needed to not just fix a bad program, but completely change the culture. And Michael, we talk about culture. And Coach Prime asked the question, what is culture? Ed Lamb will be able to answer that question for you. Because I've been able to kind of witness it, riding shotgun with Ed on the podcast, just getting to know him. But changing a culture is not just about running the proper routes and, you know, executing the defensive game plan. It's getting them to buy into your philosophy and sometimes your philosophy as a human. And then he's telling these stories later. Fast forward to this off or to this year after the Bears won, what did they do? It was after the Houston Christian win, I believe, and it was like during the week of practice. Peter Castelli, who's a backup quarterback, who's out for the maybe not for the season, but we'll see. He stood up at the end of Coach Lamb's speech and was like, "Hey, just a reminder, nobody's going out tonight. Nobody's doing anything silly tonight. Just wanted to get that out." And that was not Ed Lamb. That was his guy saying that. I interviewed player after player after player this summer. And it was always like, what do you do in your spare time, man? And it was no like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It was, man, I go fishing. You know, I like hiking. I mean, all these things are positive habits. And again, don't get me wrong. If you're at a bar and you see a player for CSU or UNC or whatever, it's not breaking news. It's not bad. But when they're trying to change the perception of them, which was really, Mike, there was no perception. UNC wasn't talked about. Nobody was bringing them up on, I mean, we did because we're here in Greeley, and you did. You talk about the game, and then you kind of just move on. I wasn't giving them 20 minutes. I wasn't giving the head coach a full hour every single week. On this show. This show is for listeners, right? This show is for the hooligans. We want to talk about topics and teams and storylines that make sense. And I've always said this, like, you're either great or you're terrible, and that's a storyline. But the Bears were so terrible for so long, it was no longer a story. It was just, oh, they lost 46-20. Moving on. So I'm thankful for Ed. And these players and this coaching staff for what they've accomplished so far. They have a long road to go. You know, 3-3. I know they're not satisfied with that. They want to be ranked. They want to win the Big Sky. Talk to Ed Lamb. I'm saying four wins would be freaking awesome since you didn't do that since 2016. Think about that. They haven't won four games since 2016. That's almost a decade of just not just losing, but losing badly. And I think you're starting to see that this program is really buying in. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Faith says, also to note, these are some of the absolutely most respectful and kind players I have ever been around, and I have been around my football and football my whole life. Yeah, Faith would know. Her son is one of those dudes I'm talking about, Miles McLarity. That's a hell of a guy right there. And you sense it when you're talking to these guys. I mean, I did a player show a couple years ago, and the player was obviously happy to do the show and great, and I have nothing really bad to say about him, but he was hurt like every week, and he never really told me that. And then he would text me like after one show finally was like, hey, I'm out. I'm not going to be playing again. I was like, the season's over pretty much. These guys are setting up for a lot of success both while they're playing football and beyond their football lives. And you're seeing it on the field. I mean, winning 49-33 against Idaho. That is a big deal. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, this Sunday, obviously the Broncos are playing the Giants. They will be honoring Demaryius Thomas in the ring of in their ring of honor at Empower Field. Is that what it is? That is Demaryius Thomas, man. Miss that dude. Miss seeing him on the field. Obviously, if he were alive, he wouldn't be playing now. But that was a great Bronco. He was amazing. And he played in a really interesting stretch for the Broncos. You know, he had Peyton Manning, and then after Manning, it was rough. But they're honoring DT, and rightfully so. If he was still alive, this isn't a, hey, we're honoring him because he passed away. This guy would absolutely be a Ring of Famer.
Didn't he also start out with Tim Tebow?
Yeah, I think so. I think. Right?
Yeah.
Was that DT? The kid's rookie year?
And he was... he was blocking most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of wide receivers are going. As a matter of fact, they had one of those wide receivers who's like, I don't want to block anymore. Trade me. Like, he was okay with blocking most of the time and getting the ball sometimes.
Was that Brandon Lloyd?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was?
I loved Brandon Lloyd.
Dude, he had some sticky hands that year. He made some crazy catches.
He always made crazy catches.
But you're right. He had Tim Tebow throwing him the football, then Peyton Manning, and then Trevor Siemian, and on it goes. A great Denver Bronco. And I'm really happy that they're doing this.
And, you know, he made plays with every one of those quarterbacks. So you can't just say, oh, he had this amazing quarterback. He's a reflection of that amazing quarterback. He made plays with overthrow Tebow.
Yeah. Or underthrow Tebow. Or skipping rocks Tebow. The bad for me is the Broncos are now on their third left guard. Garrett Bowles, left tackle. Matt Peart, who had a rough game, but apparently was playing injured in that game. He's been placed on IR. So now it sounds like, from what I'm reading, it's going to be Calvin Throckmorton. Oof. That's a scary situation for the Broncos. With Ben Powers being out, now Matt Peart, and they're going to go this route.
Sounds like a Middle Earthen name.
Kind of does, doesn't it? Yeah, leave it to you to add a little nerd to this. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it. The ugly for me is, this is a personal thing, man. Jerry Schimmel, our guy, former voice of the Rockies. He used to work here at KFK. He was the voice of the Bears, too. iHeart Radio has moved on from Jerry Schimmel. In the Denver Post this morning, Patrick Saunders, the headline, Jerry Schimmel, longtime Rockies radio voice, laid off by iHeartRadio Tuesday yesterday, marks the second time Schimmel has lost his job as KOA's voice of the Rockies.
It's because they don't know how to radio.
When he lost his, I'm not going to do that. We're an affiliate, of course, of the Broncos and the Rockies, and we love our partnership. And there's a lot of good people there, and they're really good people. But this is a conglomerate. This is a national thing, and they basically come in and
they suck at running a company.
They look at the bottom line. They don't look at what's programming in the area and like what hosts actually work for people. They go and say, hey, we need to make cuts. And they don't look at Jerry Schimmel. They look at the number next to him, which Jerry outlined in this article that he was only getting 25% of what he was being paid last time around. So he already took a major cut to do this. So it's unfortunate how this plays out. So we wish Jerry well. I know we're going to be talking to him soon. Maybe there's something here. I don't know. But we've always appreciated, you know, him being on the station. Anytime we need him to talk Rockies, he's on. He was on with Brian and Tanner, Good Morning NoCo, all the time. I don't know if that'll change because, dude, he's just like talking to Jerry. The guy used to call Nuggets games, called Rockies games. He's been a broadcaster for a very long time. Wrote a phenomenal book. He was a plane crash survivor, and I interviewed him. One of the first times I kind of got to know him, I sat down with him, and he talked to us about that story, and it was a very emotional story, very much. So wishing Jerry well, but yeah, that's definitely the ugly. Yes, Michael.
I remember when he was let go the first time, I think it was Kyle Clark was visibly pissed, like on the air, just pissed. And normally he's pretty professional, but I could see him, and he was just like, he was being professional, but you could see behind his eyes there was fire. Like there's a reason why I complain about iHeart. Instead of they're just a bad company.
Well, and again, let me qualify that before Micah gets us, we lose our rights and all that stuff. We do have a great partnership with them. We have a great affiliation partnership with them. So
with the local one.
Correct, but we really love getting the Broncos games on. And we really love getting the Rockies games on. But it is an unfortunate part of this business. And I talked about this yesterday, not knowing that this news was coming down. When I was talking about this yesterday, I did not know that Jerry was no longer with iHeart. And what I love about what we're able to do here is, yeah, we have people that move on from this place. It happens. But a lot of the times, it's not a quick, hey, let's just look at your number and see where you're going. I mean, it's a very interesting world. Ratings drives this thing. Advertisers drives this thing. So when I'm asking you guys, like, hey, you like the live and local stuff, go frequent the businesses that support this radio station. Those are things that come into play when you're making decisions and you're running a radio station. Fortunately for us, we don't just wake up one day and say, oh, we need to make massive cuts. There's a number. Get rid of it. And with Jerry, that guy, we asked him to do so much for us. This guy is like on his knees hooking up equipment, doing coaches shows back in the day for us. And we love the dude. We consider him a part of the KFKA family, actually.
I can guarantee you the people that let him go, who made that decision, have never met him. Those people are who I'm criticizing. The people who made that decision have never met him.
24 minutes after the hour, we're going to have Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, join us, talk a little Wyoming and Air Force this weekend. That's going to be interesting. I don't know where I'm going on that. I mean, Air Force is offense. How about that? This offense can put up the points. But Wyoming's got a pretty salty defense. They're coming off of a fascinating win against San Jose State last weekend. We're going to talk to Cody about that coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Twenty-nine minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, Cody Tucker is going to join me in a few minutes to talk Wyoming Cowboys. What a crazy game for them over the weekend! A game they found themselves on the positive side of, and we'll get into the details from that. What Cody saw? Are we going to see a turn with this offense? It was sparked by an interception, and we'll discuss that as well. But the Air Force Wyoming game is going to be an interesting game for sure. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Do you want to thank Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor? You guys are rocking it. Top Text Tuesday. Faith, by the way, won yesterday. So, Faith, come on by and get your Diamond Valley. Michael voted on this. I let him have the vote. And Faith won. So, she got the Diamond Valley Collectibles for Top Text Tuesday. The $20 gift certificate. So, good for you. You're now entered in for a chance to win a $100 gift certificate as well as a signed jersey. Cody Tucker joining me next. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We have Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. The Wyoming Cowboys, Cody, where did all that come from? 21 points in the fourth quarter. That interception by Braden Johnson, the ball's knocked around all over the place and ends up in his hands, and the Cowboys go score. They get on the board again in the fourth quarter, get it to 28-21, and from that point on, all the momentum just like transferred over to the Cowboys, and they found themselves walking away with a dub, an important dub for the Cowboys.
Yeah, man, did they need that one. And you could tell in the locker room it was not only just a sigh of relief, it was just something that this team hasn't experienced in a while. Almost a month losing three straight. And those weren't the three easiest teams in the world. But I tell you what, man, one of the more bizarre games I've ever covered in my life. San Jose State just comes out of the gate and makes Wyoming look silly. You know Danny Scudero is going to be their guy. Still, Wyoming can do nothing about it. He's got four touchdowns in the first 20 minutes. And you're thinking, oh, my God, this guy's going to break every NCAA record under the sun at this rate. And the Cowboys somehow managed to slow it down. And as impressive as it was to score 21 in the fourth and win this game, the Cowboys held that offense off the board. After 10-19 with 10-19 remaining in the second quarter, San Jose State never scored again. They missed a couple of field goals, but that's a long field goals. And that's a really high-powered offense to keep in check like that. And they hurt Walker Egitt, Tyce Westland coming in unblocked, gets the strip sack and puts their quarterback on the sideline. So really weird game, though. Absolutely bizarre to see it play out. It was an absolute fireworks show right off the bat, then an absolute bore fest through the first two – through the next two quarters, and then another fireworks show ensued in the fourth.
Yeah, pretty much, like you said, the final 10 minutes of the first half, but in that second half, it felt a lot like a lot of the Wyoming games we've seen, where defense making the stops, offense can't do anything. Defense making the stops, but then you finally have to just take matters into your own hands and score a touchdown, and then it was like the top just blew off this thing.
Yeah, and you know, I started thinking about what Jay Sauville said last week after the UNLV game. You cannot give up two special teams touchdowns and win. And my thoughts were Wyoming returned a punt for a touchdown and a pick six for a touchdown. You can't do that and lose. You absolutely cannot. But I also tweeted out right before the fourth. I said, I can't believe I'm saying this right now. The Cowboys are only down 14, but they're well on their way to their fourth straight loss. This is lifeless. And to be honest with you, around the time the interception happened for the touchdown, I was kind of pecking away at their obituary. It was dire. And, that flipped the script in a hurry. And, what a weird, you know, you got the weird happenings right before half where Wyoming can't get a field goal off. And in this one, you have a do-over for San Jose State's offense who just picked up a fourth and two. They get a do. They have to do the play over. And they, of course, the announcers on TV and the announcers in the stadium, nobody let us know what the hell was going on. What happened was they sent a 11th guy on. They sent a wide receiver on late, which means Wyoming can substitute as well. They didn't give Wyoming enough time to substitute. They ran the play, so the referees got together and called it a do-over, which I'm not sure is the technical term, but next thing you know, the next play is a pick six going the other way for Braden Johnson. Yeah. The Cowboys roll from there.
Yeah, that situation was odd. I mean, even the Kelman run, it wasn't odd. It was amazing, but it was like at that moment you're not thinking you're going to have one of these powerful game clenching type of plays, and then there it was.
Yeah, well, and then they bring Walker Egitt in off the deck. You know, he hadn't been in the last 5-6 offensive series for the Spartans, and here he comes on the field to save the day and can't get it done. So yeah, man, just a really, really weird it is one of the more bizarre games I've covered in the 7 years I've been covering the Cowboys, and you can't overstate it. They needed this game so badly. They were only 2-7 heading into that game in their last 9 inside War Memorial Stadium, and that's supposed to be one of the best home field advantages in not only the Mountain West but the country. And they needed to feel good about something. And I can't imagine what things would be like right now if they didn't win that game. And oh, by the way, we're sitting there watching in the press box, Air Force, you know, put a 50 burger on UNLV on the road at the same time, and thinking. It's just getting worse and worse, and then everything flipped.
Sometimes those kind of games, too, Cody, when you don't play your best game throughout, but you find a way to win, that's the kind of game that I think can instill a lot of confidence going forward, you know, especially for this matchup coming up against Air Force.
No question. I think something we should probably go ahead and start saying is Wyoming's defense is legit, and I know Scudero made him look silly right off the bat. Desmond Hearns, I spoke to him. He said, you know, I got dusted. I didn't expect that kid to be as fast as he was. And, you know, my rebuttal's like, well, he did the same thing to Texas. How the hell do you not know how fast this kid is? And, you know, he caught a beautiful pass there for a touchdown and then turns around and catches a 72-yarder in front of Hearns, too, but it wasn't even Hearns' guy. And then all of a sudden they got pressure. They started bringing the heat instead of dropping 8. They started bringing heat. They were getting in Egitt's face. Then they hurt Egitt. Then San Jose State's forced to play two more quarterbacks. So, you know, you like to say, and I think we've said this on your show how many times this year, this is the perfect week to get right. Air Force's defense is atrocious bad, like dead last in all of FBS. I'm going through it right now. They have given up so many explosive plays. I'm sure it just is keeping old Troy Calhoun up at night. I mean, this would be the time. And when it comes to pass defense, they are the worst. And I will say, Caden Anderson, for his struggles, he had a really bad interception in this game. But, man, the 45-yard touchdown pass to Charlie Kuhnen was legit. That was a legit NFL-looking throw. And then, you know, the other touchdown throw to Michael Fitzgerald looked an awful lot like a guy who wore number 17 here back in 2016. Rolling to his right, throws it. Michael Fitzgerald's diving in the end zone to catch the ball. I mean, it's there. And I think we saw more this week of what Caden Anderson could be.
Yeah, and that's the hope. You're right with Air Force, too, Cody. Like, every time you watch this game, you just think, man, that defense can't be that bad. And as soon as they score, it's almost instant. Whoever they're going up against is going to move. I remember that Hawaii Air Force game. It's like, okay, now things are going to slow down. Air Force's defense will finally pick it up at some point, and then bam. It's just – I'll tell you this. For the teams that we follow around here, Air Force has definitely been the most exciting. They're 1-5, but they've been the most exciting.
No doubt. No, oh, they can score. They can score in bunches. I mean, it's so – how bizarre is it? They are – Brady, they are 4 yards – an average of 4 yards passing a game away from being ranked 6th in the Mountain West in the passing category. That's insane. They're 2 behind Wyoming and 4 behind Fresno State right now. So you're adding that element to an already scary, terrifying offense that they already run. It's been clicking on all cylinders. But, man, if they can't stop anybody, you just got to feel sick.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, I don't understand Air Force. I mean, I remember most years with Troy Calhoun, it's like they're going to run, you know, and they're still doing that like crazy. But they're going to maybe throw it like 4 times a game, 5 times a game. That is not the case with this team. They're still doing all the running things, but they're passing. And these aren't always just like, oh, they've ran it 20 times in a row. Now let's catch them off guard with a pass. They've got like a legitimate passing attack.
Yeah, it's wild, and you saw glimpses of it a couple years ago. You know, Kate Harris is a really good another guy who's under 6 foot tall at the wide receiver spot who's just making a ton of plays. And I think they're taking advantage of that, that they have some guys on the outside. It's probably very rare that they have, you know, game changers on the perimeter like they do right now. So I believe they have five guys right now who have more than 100 yards receiving. Wyoming just got to four, and three of those guys eclipsed the 100-yard mark last week against San Jose State. I mean, Air Force is throwing the ball, legit throwing the ball, like you said, and they're bouncing the run right off of it, and they're using it together in unison, and it looks better maybe than ever, but they can't stop anybody, and it's almost the equivalent of a Wyoming fan who's saying, man, the defense keeps kicking ass, and the offense is doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same thing.
This has the makings of a game where I have no idea what to expect in this one. I mean, the total, the over-under is 58.5 in this game. I have no idea. Like, this is going to be the most complicated game to pick of the year, I think.
Well, and history would tell you this game always comes down to a single-digit winner, and it's been so close. Air Force is clinging to a 31-28-3 lead overall in the series. It's always, always close. I was talking about it on my show yesterday. I remember one blowout was Brett Smith going into Falcon Stadium the year after the whole Troy Calhoun, Dave Christensen debacle during the postgame handshake, and Wyoming could have put up a hell of a lot more than they did that year. Other than that, it's been down to the wire every single time out against these guys.
Cowboys are 3.5-point dogs in this one, Cody. How do you see this one going down, man?
They have. I mean, this defense is so bad. I'm going through it right now as we speak, Brady, and it's just they're so bad. You have to take advantage. And Air Force is keeping these games close. Almost every game has been close this year. They just need to. They're eventually going to get over the hump here, and you can't let it be against you. And the Cowboys haven't won there since 2017, and they haven't won in Laramie in forever either. It's one of those deals where the road team has not been pulling it out. So. The Cowboys have to take advantage here. They have to use San Jose State as a springboard. And, it's something else I thought about yesterday with CSU leaving. Air Force is the new Front Range main Mountain West rival.
Yeah.
So this is the birth of an already good rival that, can really, a good rivalry that can really be jacked up a notch here.
Yeah, well, and this is a big game too for the Cowboys, well, honestly, both teams. If Air Force has already had how many conference games? Four already? And they're 0-4. So, I mean, yeah, the idea of, I think I picked them to be in the Mountain West Championship game at least, Cody, but that doesn't look realistic at this stage. But I suppose for Air Force, if they want any shot at that, they have to pretty much win out, and I don't think that will be enough. But for the Cowboys, they're very much in the mix of this thing. 1-1. It's still early in conference play for them.
Yeah, no doubt. And, we've talked about it the last few weeks here. If you can get on a run here, you have San Jose State, you have Air Force, you have CSU. And, of course, CSU, I don't know who was wearing their outfits the other night or who was, better yet, who was wearing Fresno State's. But then you run into a San Diego State team that's all of a sudden sitting atop the conference. So, anybody who tells you, once again, anybody who tells you they know in their preseason picks and
this
all
call
that,
will be recorded.
That's nuts. They don't.
The call is no longer being recorded.
They don't know.
You record? Are you recording this, Cody?
I accidentally hit a button. I'm a tech whiz, Brady.
It will be recorded either way, so we'll get it out there. But no, the race is crazy. With CSU, Fresno State, suddenly, if CSU can be that team, then who knows? But it does still feel wide open because I think we're still. Strangely enough, there's a 6-0 team in this conference, and that's UNLV. But I think whoever I interview, whether it's you or guys from the CSU side of things or Air Force, I think we're all kind of saying, but are they that good? We're going to find out, I guess.
Yeah, no, we're going to find out this week. They haven't beat Boise State in Boise ever. And, of course, these two teams have met the last couple of years for the Mountain West title game. So, really like Dan Mullen, really like Anthony Calandria. I think they have a really good thing going there. But, giving up 48 at home on homecoming to Air Force and the teams they beat before Wyoming with losing records. I don't know. We still maybe don't know. I mean, this is their first, in my opinion, really true test to see if they're ready to take over this conference.
I'm excited for that game, too. Cody, always appreciate it, man. What do you have for us that we can check out at 7220sports.com?
Oh, boy. All kinds of stuff. Just hammering down, man. All the Wyoming coverage, still a little from San Jose State, looking at a little toward Air Force. And just a really weird, It's really weird to be writing about Air Force's passing attack as much as I have, and it is legit. You're right. It's absolutely legit, and if they can figure out a way to play just a little bit of defense on Saturday, they might come out with a W, but Wyoming has to win this game. They've been in must-win mode here for a minute, but the Air Force doesn't have anything to play for. The Cowboys have everything to play for. It's time to get that monkey out their back and win in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, it feels kind of like a hinge game here with Wyoming kind of sitting right in the middle of the conference. A win here would go a long way. So, Cody, always appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, Brady. Have a good week.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Yeah, Wyoming's 1-1 in the conference. They're smack dab in the middle of this thing. Air Force... I love watching this team. I'm actually shocked when you look at all the losses where they sit. It was somewhat close game against Utah State, pretty close game against Boise State, close game against Hawaii, close game against Navy, close game against UNLV. They just can't get over the hump because they're going to have to score 60. they're going to have to score 50 to win games, and I don't see them doing that against Wyoming. But I am torn on that game. 100%. So picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. 49 minutes after the hour, Eric Gibson's going to join me in the second hour of the program, quarterback for the UNC Bears. I'm excited to talk to him. Haven't had him on the show before, so I'm really looking forward to it. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number one. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is the year the UNC Bears turn it around. Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Welcome back into the whole show. Go Pokes texting in. It boils down to, with the Wyoming Air Force game, if you believe Wyoming can score 40 or not. Can Wyoming score 40? I don't know. Picks are on Friday. I don't want to think about that game yet. I can't think about it. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. We'll make the pick. We're red hot the last 2 weeks, so we're feeling really good. So I got to use my – I got to channel that power, that picking power that I have.
I can call it now.
Happens. Okay, go for it.
Okay. Air Force hates our men and women in the military because they will beat Wyoming.
Okay, are they covering?
I don't know what the cover is.
3.5. Are they winning by 4 or more?
I think they're going to win by a touchdown.
That would be more than 4. So there you go. You heard
it from Michael. I'm calling it now. I think Wyoming wins.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, then I will be wrong.
What will you do if you're wrong? Is there some kind of bet on the line here?
No, you know I don't gamble.
Well, we don't have to do money or anything. You have to...
Give you a high five. I will give you a high five.
I'm good. You have to do a 15-minute segment on why Star Wars is more intellectual than Star Trek.
I don't want to lie to people.
Take the bet. You want the bet?
I mean, I could argue why.
No, I don't care.
Andor
it.
Is
nope.
more accurate
don't know what that
about
is.
The government.
I don't even know what that is.
As opposed to Star Trek.
What is an Andor? Is that the little green guy?
No, Andor is one of the shows. It's a 2-season show that you would actually really like.
They make 5 million of these. Who has the time to watch 5 million shows? How am I supposed to know? Is he Kirk Skywalker's brother or something?
No, he's there are a few of the characters from the movie that happened right before A New Hope. So that's
there's 5 million movies. There's five. Well, Kenny Swami says, Brady, this is your fault. I'm sorry,
Brady, it's your fault.
I don't even
look. I can.
How many spaceships am I supposed to care about now? And lightsabers.
Lightsabers are cool. I want one.
I'm surprised you don't have one.
Well, not the fake ones. I want a real one.
Oh, do they make real ones? I don't think we have the technology yet.
We don't have the technology, but there are a lot of people who are surprisingly working on it.
Because that's what we need. We got our best minds on it, and you're probably part of that group.
No, no, I'm not one over. I don't. My brain doesn't work that way.
All right, coming up, we got top stories of the day. Boston Celtics, they have an interesting thing that happened. Russell Westbrook found a new team. And a bunch of other stuff we'll get to. Also, Eric Gibson's going to join me. You guys, you need to make this a must listen. I'm excited to talk to Eric Gibson Jr., the quarterback for the UNC Bears, for the 3-3 UNC Bears, for the vote-receiving UNC Bears, for the potential ranked UNC Bears.
I'm going to ask him if he likes Star Trek.
We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.